voice. Let's let the Holy Ghost move in this house, Jesus. Let's really pray. God, we need you in this house. Oh, God. Let's just go beyond the motions. Let's just go beyond what we know to do. If we could just tap into what the Holy Ghost wants to do in this house. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. I understand it may be a little bit different tonight, but that does not mean the Holy Ghost is not the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same Holy Ghost that was here Sunday night can move in this house tonight. Oh, Jesus. The Bible says where two or three are gathered together in his name, he will be there in the midst of them. Oh, God. Oh, Jesus, we need you. We want you, God. Oh, come on, let's take it to the next level, God. Not just in volume, but in intensity, in earnest, God. In fervency. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. God, we need you to move in this house like you've never moved. I believe that there can be miracles that take place tonight. I believe that there are things that you are wanting, that needing God to take care of, that can be taken care of tonight. But we must tap in. We've got to start praying in the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, we need you. God, we need you. This is more than just a surface level, but we are going to pray until we start praying in the Spirit. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Let the Holy Ghost flow. Let the Holy Ghost come upon you. The Holy Ghost fell when they were in one accord in one place. There came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house. Oh, God, focused intensity. Oh, God, we need you, Jesus. We want you, God. We want you, God, to move in this house. Oh, God. We need your glory, Jesus. We need your glory, Jesus. We need your glory, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. I wonder if we could clap our hands and give him praise today. We thank you, Jesus. You are good. You are great. You are mighty. You are holy. You are awesome, God. You are awesome, God. You are awesome, God. Oh, Jesus. Come on, that feels good. Woo! Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. You're mighty. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated tonight. I understand there is not very many people here tonight, but I said it earlier, and I still believe and I contend that the Bible says where there are two or three gathered in his name, he will be in the midst of them. And I don't just say that just because there's a little bit here, but I do believe that. Please pray for and keep everybody traveling. They'll be traveling home Saturday that has gone to Summit. I came with just a thought that I want to share with everybody tonight. I guess for an opening text, we can go to Luke 18 and 1. I don't plan on preaching, but I would like to share this, what's been on my heart for the last few weeks. Said Luke 18, 1 says, "And he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint." That men ought always to pray. And I want to preface this tonight by saying this topic that I want to bring up is not something that I am going to stand up here and talk about as if I have everything together and as if I have mastered this to the fullest degree. And I don't believe that anybody, if you want to be honest with yourself, could say that you have mastered 100% the topic of prayer. No matter how long, if you pray 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, I believe everybody, if we're honest with ourselves, could say that we could pray more and do more and pray longer and pray harder and more fervent. I believe that I stand up here not as one that has mastered this or anything, but I do come with a conviction in my heart that has been stirring in me the last little bit. And it's something that I'm trying to work on, and I want to try and share and convey this tonight. Now, this may be only for me, and I may be the only one that's going to take this away and pack it for me, but I pray that we can make this for everybody here tonight, and at least there be a seed that is planted that can grow in everybody's life. And by no means, I am not trying to take away what Brother Wilbanks and just preach and base off what Brother Wilbanks, if for those of you that were at men's conference, I believe that is the greatest Christian occupation that we can have is being a prayer warrior in the church. That is the best thing that we can do. And I will take some nuggets of what he said, and we will talk about them tonight. But one day I was scrolling on social media, and I saw a clip of a lady testifying at Brother Jackson's church in Nederland, Texas. And she was talking about how she had just received some news, or there was some struggles that she was going through, and there was some trials and some tribulations, some things that she just could not get past. And she made the statement that, "I just started, when the trial came, I started doing what we know to do. And I started praying and fasting." And that convicted me to the point, because how many times have we come up against troubles in our lives, against roadblocks? And granted, there's things that are going to be in our lives that are, and I don't have to preface this, but we know that there's going to be just some things in our life that come against us that may be just life, that may just be things that aren't the devil, that aren't the boogeyman behind every bush. And there is some things that there's some issues that we cause, or we're the reason why these issues are in our life. We may just have to go through them. But there is some things I do believe that there is tribulations, there is hardships that the devil is coming after us with everything that he has. There is walls that the devil is putting up. There is pressures on every side. There is needs that need to be met. There's answers that are needed, and there is miracles that need to happen. And how many times do we just blow past them and not even consider that we should be praying and fasting about these issues in our life? That we may just say, as Brother Wilbanks said, we may say some prayer words We may throw some things out there that sound like prayer, and we can justify them as prayer, but are we really praying about the situation? You may say, that's not true. I pray about my situation all the time. I pray that God would work a miracle, but there is no actual fervent prayer behind and praying in the spirit behind what we're saying. 2 Chronicles 10:4 says, for the weapons of our warfare, or Colossians, sorry, says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There are things that are going on in our lives that are spiritual things that we're trying to manage that in the carnal atmosphere, and there is no way that we're ever going to destroy the yoke. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a spirit world that is actually trying to attack and coming against what God wants to do in our lives personally and corporately as a church. And the only way that we are going to combat them, if we are going to wrestle them with in the spiritual world, we cannot wrestle in just a come in and go through the motions prayer life. But we have to wrestle them on the same level. And we've got to get into the spirit world and let the spirit pray for us. We've got to get to a level, say, God, I have nothing else to say, but I pray that you would go, that you would send forth your word and let the spirit start moving through us. We can't just get through and start saying a few prayer words, but we have to pray until we are praying in the spirit. There's no devil in hell that can come against God. There's no devil in hell that can come against the church of God. There's no devil in hell that can come against the church that is praying in the spirit. Jude 1:20 says, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I pray tonight that we can have a seed, that we can have some young people, some middle-aged, some older folks that would get in a seed and feel the unction of being an intercessor, of somebody that would know how to go into that place that you don't know what you're praying for, but there is some intercessory prayer that can be made for situations you know not of, for situations that are in your life, for situations your brother or your sister may be going through. But the Spirit can go through you and touch the lives of those around you. I believe it is time for some young people to tap in and just not be on the surface level coming to church just because that is what we do, but every service there is a spiritual battle that is going on that would like to take and distract and put up walls and distract from what God wants. But if we could get to a place where every service we can pray and let the prayer of intercessory prayer be taken over, that the Holy Ghost would overshadow, the Holy Ghost would destroy some walls, the Holy Ghost would take down, and the Holy Ghost would tear down through some young people. We learn to pray not as we ought to pray, but the Spirit helpeth us. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If we're not careful, we would rather live below what God has for us, without our promise, without our miracle, without our answer. You put your situation there. You put it, whatever trial, whatever tribulation you're going through, you put it there. It's easier to live in that state without living where God wants us, instead of pushing out, we'd rather live that way because we know instead of living in the uncomfortable and stretching out, we know what that is. We know what we're living without our promises. We know what living with our limp. We know what living without our answer. We know what living within this trial means to us. We don't know. We've learned that. It may have felt uncomfortable in the beginning, but this trial is just we can get cautious, and if we're not cautious, we can just learn to live in our trial and not ever get out of it, because going out of it and getting and stretching out can be uncomfortable. If we stretch our prayer life, if we stretch our fasting, if we go do more fasting, that starts to get uncomfortable, and we don't really know. That's uncharted territory. And if we're not careful, we can step back and go, oh, whoa, whoa. We don't really want to go there. This is comfortable for us. We know. But God has so much more for us. If we would just go step out into the deep things. Step out. Pray more. Fast more. Do more for the kingdom. And we can live in our promise. We can live in our miracle. We can live with our answer. The Bible says in Matthew 17, 21, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. It does not take somebody with any deep, deep prophet-like knowledge to know that I believe I can say that this kind, this thing that we're going through right now, This building program, the struggles that you're facing, this mountain that we're facing is not going to move without some deep prayer and fasting. There is things and struggles that we're going through that we need to pray. We need to fast more than we've ever fasted. And we need to pray deeper than we've ever prayed before. Oh, come on, somebody. If you believe that, clap your hands and give him praise. It's going to take some deeper prayer, some deeper fasting, some more fasting than we've ever had. I've heard Bishop Holmes talk about a 52-day fast and how many times things have been transformed when you commit yourself to a 52-day fast. I've heard many people say it's not just food. People are fasting. I heard a lady was praying, a testimony of a lady that was praying for a home. Their family had been trying to get out of a home situation, and they wanted to buy a house, and she was praying, God, what would you have me to do? I want to start a 52-day fast, and what would you have me to fast from? And she felt like God put on her heart that she should stop sleeping on her bed for 52 days. And she slept on the floor of her bedroom with no pillow. And I think she said she had a sheet on, and she slept for 52 days on her floor. And on the 52nd day, there was no answer until she woke up that day on day 52, and they got the call that there was a house, and they were able to buy and sign for a house. There is no telling. Whatever you may think of that, I believe God honors sacrifice and fasting. I'm not going to go delve in. Bishop Holmes has a whole book. I believe it would be a great read for all of us. I don't think it's called 52 Days. It's all it's called. And it's $8 on a publishing house. I looked it up tonight. And he's talking about the importance of the 52-day fast and discipline and intense prayer and fasting for those 52 days. I don't believe from the stories I've heard, I don't believe that it would take way too much time and effort, all the testimonies that have been taken off of a 52-day fast. But I believe that it is time for us to start. I'm not saying that we should start a 52-day fast, but I am saying that we should start considering what do you have, God? What is it that you would have us to let go of, to give up, so that we can start seeing the things that you have for us. Intense prayer, intense fasting. What is it that you would have us to do, God, so that we can walk in the blessings, in the miracles that you have for us? I was asked recently, this kind of is the culmination of what brought this on. I was asked recently what I thought was the true key to revival. And immediately, my first answer was just felt like prayer. Prayer's the answer. But then I talked myself out of, because it feels like that's just the cheap cop-out answer for everything, is if we pray. And so I started throwing out other things that it could be, and they're all valid things. And ultimately it ended up, and I felt, I guess, a little bit of conviction of that I felt like that was the cheap answer, was prayer. And I believe that the key to revival in our city, in our homes, and in this church corporately, is a deep prayer life. If every one of us could go through every day and we get this prayer life, we get a deep walk with God, and intentionality, and in fervent prayer. And when we come into pre-service prayer, that is just going to be the fruit of what we're doing privately. It's going to happen corporately. If we can learn how, that I believe the key answer to revival in your life, revival in your finances, revival in your home life, revival at your job, that all that revival means is just reviving again, restoration of promise, of prosperity, not prosperity doctrine, but of living in blessing. I believe that ultimately comes from a deep prayer life. Prayer is, from the old song, we can take it all the way back. There's an old song that says prayer is a direct line to the throne room. We have access to the one who has the answer to every problem, the one who has the answer to every need, the one who has the answer to every situation. We have a direct line straight to the one. We don't have to go over to somebody else, but all we have to do is open our mouth with fervency and effective prayer in the Spirit, and we have direct communication with the one who can answer everything. The Bible says Jesus is the song says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. And I've come to tell you that Jesus is the answer for your situation. Jesus is the answer for your trouble. Jesus is the answer to your miracle. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall receive them. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. And Acts chapter 16, verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And every band, and later down, farther down there, it says every band was loosed. If we can stand tonight, I believe that when we pray, there is angels, there is people that hear. When we pray and we get into where God wants us to be, not only will your situation be healed, but I believe there is going to be those around you. There is going to be those that are connected to you that they will see, they will ask, and we will be able to tell them what God has done for us. Oh, Jesus, we want you to move, God, in our lives. We need you to move, God, in our hearts. Oh, God, I pray that the seed of prayer will be planted in this house. Oh, effective prayer, not just going through the motions, but fervent prayer. I pray that it would be planted in every heart, in every mind. Jesus, whatever you have, whatever prayer life you have, I pray that there will be a seed for doing more. I pray that we would learn, God, what you would have for us, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. The Bible says, if any is among you is afflicted, let him pray. Is any merry, let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Oh, Jesus. One more time, if we could just lift up our voice. Oh, God, by your Spirit, Jesus. Oh, God, help me do more for you, God. Oh, I want to stretch myself, God. I want to get out into deep things. I want to get out where it's uncomfortable. I'm sick of living in this mess I'm in. I'm sick of living with this situation. Oh, God, I pray that you would help. Come on, somebody, let the Holy Ghost move through you. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. Oh, oh, let there be a seed of an intercessor be planted here tonight. Oh, let there be a seed that can grow, be planted, God. Oh, God, teach me to pray. Teach us, God. Oh, Jesus. Have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way, have your way. If we could clap our hands and give him praise today, Jesus. You're so good, you're so good, you're so good, you're so good. Have your way, God. Have your way, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I pray that this would stir something, not just because of what it's me up here or anything, but this is something that has been stirred in my heart that I know I can do better on, that I know I can do more on. Imagine if everybody here, every young person, could develop the prayer life that God wants them to have, the prayer life that God sees them having, the fasting life. I just was listening to a message by Bishop Holmes a couple days ago. He said, there's so many good things that happen after a 52-day fast. I'm ready to go 52 days, 365 days. He said, I'm serious about it. I believe that there is a place that we can go, we can walk into that is blessings after blessing, miracle after miracle. But I believe it takes some effort, it takes some fervency, it takes some discipline, some dedication, and prayer. So go from here, pray, keep it in your mind, pray, ask God what he would have you to do. What is it that you would have me to do, God? If this resonates with you, if you feel like you want to, try a 52-day fast out. Pray. Don't just give something up to give something up because it feels easy. But pray, ask. Most of the time, the easy thing to give up is not the thing that God's asking you to deal with or give up. It's going to be the thing that you don't want to, the thing that you're fighting against, that your flesh is fighting against, but the Spirit's willing, but your flesh is a little bit weak on. Pray, ask God what he would have you to do. Maybe you do go on a 52-day fast or a 7-day, whatever, however you want to do it. I'm bringing up a 52-day fast because that's what I've heard Bishop Holmes talk about. And I am convicted about it, and I am going to actively be praying about what he would have me to do. Let's go from here. Pray for Pastor, Sister Bray, everybody that's not here tonight. Some of them will be traveling home. Everybody will be traveling home Saturday. We'll all be back here Sunday for church. So don't forget, Sunday church, 5:30 prayer, 6 o'clock service. Well, 5:30 service starts. You are dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake hands with about 1,000 people.